Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. Thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word for you. If this ministry has changed your life, would you let us know? Send us an email at story@gutschurch.com.
I just want to tell you a little bit about those of you that have kids in the church tonight. I saw them over there in the water slides, and I'm like, man, forget church. I'm going to the water slides with the kids. And what a great place to bring your family and your children. And our children, I believe this with all of my heart, our children are different than the world's children. I believe if you bring them into the house of God, come on, how many of y'all believe our kids? I believe there's another favor and another blessing and another something that's otherworldly that comes upon our kids. Good to see you guys. There really, really is. And I will tell you, I had my little girl in the back seat of my car. It's been a couple of years ago, and it was close to her birthday. And she looks up at me, and she says this. She said, Dad, I've been thinking. You know, my birthday's coming up, and I've been thinking about what I want. And I'm like, oh, really, Briley? What do you want for your birthday? She looks up at me, and she says, well, what I want for my birthday this year is I want to go to Disney World for my birthday. And I'm like, oh, brother, you know, I know that a mouse can get into you like 5 to 10 big, right? I'm like, holy moly, not the mouse. The mouse is tougher than a loan shark. And so I'm like, honey, I'll tell you what, you know, for your birthday, you get a cake, maybe you get a doll, you get something like that. You have a party. You don't get an all expense trip paid to Disney World for your birthday. So she sits back there for a second. She says this. She said, well, Dad, if you won't take me to Disney World for my birthday, I'm going to pray to Jesus, and Jesus is going to take me to Disney World for my birthday. And so she's back there, and she begins to pray, and she's a preacher's kid, so she can put on the dog, man. She prays this prayer. She quotes Mark 11:23, and she's like, I declare that this mountain is moving, and she started binding and loosing. It was like being in a Brother Hagin camp meeting from 30 years ago, and she brought down principalities and powers, and I'm like, man, she's putting a lot on it back there right now. And she got done praying. She said amen, and I'm like, how in the world am I going to tell her she can't go to Disney World on her birthday, right? Because I teach prayer. And it wasn't 30 seconds later, my wife and I are riding in the car, my phone rings. And I looked down at my phone, and the area code was Orlando, Florida. I promise you. Now, I pick up the phone, and I answer it, and it's a pastor buddy of mine down there, and he said, hey, Brian, I was just thinking of you all of a sudden for some reason. And he says, I want to know if you could come preach for me on May the 29th. You know, May the 29th that year was a Sunday, and May the 30th was Briley Gibson's 10th birthday. I'm telling you, she prayed in. And come on, somebody give God a hand clap, because he's a God that will supernaturally answer our prayers. And I know some of you are saying, well, Disney World isn't the end all. I know, but today it could be Disney World with our kids, and tomorrow it can be nations and souls and churches and political influence and power and a voice in the gates of our city. And that's what your kids are getting on their life tonight in the house of God. Somebody say amen. Amen. I believe that. Hey, I want us to pray. We know the power of prayer, so let's pray. And then I want to teach tonight. I want to teach you a message entitled tonight. I want to call it Gifted But Flawed. Everybody say gifted but flawed. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your presence here. I thank you for your spirit. I thank you for your word. I thank you that it gives life and it's water and it's help and it lifts us to another level in life. Lord, we declare that thy words were sweet and we did eat them and they became the joy and the rejoicing of our heart. Father, let the word come forth in power. Let it change, heal, and deliver. I declare that through your word and our connection to the church, we're going to maximize our gifts and we're going to minimize our flaws. In Jesus' mighty name, and the church said, amen. When I talk about gifted but flawed, I'm thinking about all of us, but I'm also thinking about several biblical players specifically. And one of them I want to talk to you tonight about is I want to talk to you about Samson out of the book of Judges. Now, I want you to open up your Bible tonight to Judges chapter 16, and we're going to begin reading here in a moment after I set the background in verse 4. And I just want to let you know a little bit. I have a a Bible up here. I got to steal from the Gideons out of my hotel room tonight. So I got a hot Bible, but it's still holy, you know. So I'm gonna preach out of that to you a little bit. And here's what I think about when you look at the life of Samson. Number one, Samson was extremely gifted. You know the story. I'll set the stage. We're reading out of the book of Judges. And the book of Judges is a book that shows us a cycle that can happen in our life if we're not extremely careful as people. Here's what happens to people. It happens in church. It happens in marriage. It happens everywhere. Is that we're really desperate. Life is down. So we begin to seek God. How many of you came to church or cried out to God out of desperation in your early years whenever you got born again? That's what brought me into the house of God. And then the blessing of God comes on your life. You're desperate. You seek God. And God hears when we get desperate. He does. He hears the cry of faith. He knows we want something. And he begins to bless our life. And as the blessing level increases in our life, a lot of times the desperation level decreases in our life. God warned Israel. He said, be careful when you come into a land that flows with milk and honey, that you don't forget about the God who brought you there. And what Israel did is they had this blessing come upon their life, and they forgot about the God that blessed them. And they began to think they did it in their own power and in their own strength and in their own grace. And so then bondage would come back in their life. A pagan people would come and oppress them until they got desperate again and they would cry out. And God would raise up somebody called a judge in the Bible that would come and lead Israel, deliver them from their enemies, and set them free. And then they would have great freedom for a season, but they would go right back into the same cycle. And the people of Israel were in that cycle, and they began to pray for a deliverer. God sent an angel to a lady, and he told this lady, listen, you're going to have a son, and your son is to be a Nazarite. Now, let me tell you what a Nazarite was. A Nazarite was somebody who was to be set apart unto God and to be holy. And a Nazarite had three things they could not do. Nazarite could not touch anything that was dead. Now, I know that's tempting a lot of you. Whenever you drive by roadkill on the side of the road, you want to get out and juggle it and handle it, and you make little hand puppets with it. Look at your neighbor and say that's unclean. Just tell them that. No roadkill hand puppets, so I don't know what that was about, but they couldn't touch anything unclean. And the second thing they couldn't do is they could drink no fruit of the vine. Third thing they couldn't do, and Samson couldn't do, is they could never cut their hair. Had some friends in college that they lived by this law, man. They were traveling, following fish, and they never cut their hair. So these three things made them Nazarites. And because of this vow that this woman had placed upon this child, this commitment to God, you know, Samson really didn't make this himself yet. His parents made it. God commanded it and committed it into his life. But because of that vow and that separation, a great gifting was released to Samson. There's something about a separation somewhere in your life that will bring the gift to the top. You know, the New Testament says this to all of us. I don't believe we're all called to be Nazarites, but I believe we're all called to be holy. Somebody say amen to that. We're all called to be separate. We're all called to be different. The New Testament says this. It says, come out from amongst them and be ye separate, saith the Lord of hosts, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you. And suddenly this awesome gifting that comes on Samson's life. And Samson didn't look like a power lifter or a strong guy, or didn't look like one of these unbelievably fit guys. Had a guy in my church that he became a world champion power lifter. Strongest in his class, won the world championship, would bench 1,000 pounds, pull 1,200, and squat like 1,000 pounds. It was incredible to watch him. He looked like a silverback ape, literally. And it's a nice look. You know, it really is attractive. The women love it. And anyway, I don't think Samson looked like that. Samson looked like a normal guy. But whenever he needed it, the Spirit of the Lord would descend upon Samson. The supernatural strength would come upon Samson, and Samson did mighty things. Samson would kill 1,000 enemies by himself with the jawbone of a donkey, the jawbone of an ass. Samson was able to rip the gates off of a city wall, and he would carry them up to a hill, and he would come out, and he would kill all kinds of enemies. Samson was fast enough to catch foxes and to use them as weapons against his enemy. He had an anointing to deliver Israel. He was supernaturally gifted. But here's the deal. Just a gift alone will never take you where you need to be in life. A gift can get you started in the right direction. A gift can be the first step out of the block. A gift can be a beginning, but a gift in and of itself will never be the end. It will never be the author and the finisher of your faith. The only thing that can finish what God's begun in you is God himself, and you must honor the God of the gift with your integrity, or that gift can tear you apart just like it can lift you up. Somebody say amen to that. See, Samson was supernaturally gifted. Man, I love to watch gifted people operate, don't you? I like to see people flow in their gift. Tonight, I loved watching worship. I enjoyed it. We see people flowing in their gift. I love to see Pastor Bill get up and harass the people in his church because he's gifted to like harass you in love as a pastor. And that's the only way I understand love. I was raised with all brothers. We don't hug. You don't hug your brother. You hit your brother. You call him, hey, I see you gained 30 pounds. What in the world are you eating, man? You know, that's love in my house. So I love to watch him flow in his gift. It's a supernatural gift. Some of you have gifts of business. You have gifts of speaking. You have gifts. Some of you have a gift to write in your life. There's some musical gifts, not to just sing songs, but to write songs. By the way, I declare some of you, if you're in here, you got that musical bend, you ought to lift a hand to heaven right now and receive a new anointing to write songs, to have songs that are new and are fresh and are cutting edge and that cut through the atmosphere and change what we're doing here. I declare it over your life in Jesus' name. See, those gifts are supernatural, but the gift by itself won't work. And a lot of times, the more gifted we are, I've discovered, a lot of times, the more gifted we are, the more flawed we just might be. Samson was gifted, but Samson was flawed. Everybody say gifted. Come on, say it again, gifted. Say it one more time, gifted. Now say flawed. So we got an unbelievable gift. And what culture will do is if you've got a really strong gift, it will begin to excuse your flaws if you will operate in your gift. Think about all the sports stars that we watch and we lift up and we think about. Man, the guys get away with murder at times. And if they were anybody else with a different kind of gift, you know where they'd be. You know it'd all be over. You know the rug would be jerked out from under their feet. But because they have that gift, everybody looks the other way. A lot of times somebody that comes out of the right place, the musician gets to do whatever they want to do, and everybody says, well, they're artistic, and they excuse that oddity because of their gift. I think about, you know, people, you've heard the country song, I don't know about you, but you know I'm from Kentucky already. The country song that says, when you're a celebrity, it's adios reality, right? Everybody excuses that because of the gift on your life. Now, I was preaching at a youth conference just a couple of weeks ago. There were a couple thousand kids in the room, and it was a great conference, great people there. Enjoyed it. I'm not trying to be religious or weird or anything. And in one of the fun scenes, we started doing songs back from the 80s. And the 80s are cool now, and a lot of us had those albums back in the 80s, and they're playing this stuff, and they get to an MJ song, which, hey, MJ's music was great, and there's people moonwalking and doing stuff like that. But I'm thinking about MJ. Come on, somebody. We got a group full of teenagers and kids, and we're celebrating MJ. Does anybody remember what he paid his life out of, his self out of? Many, many times. We look the other way over these unbelievable flaws simply because the man was gifted. If we do that and we create a culture that just overlooks our flaws because of our gifts, we create something that's toxic. God himself does not care as much about our gift because the gift he's given each and every one in this room, it's his free gift, it's his grace. We didn't earn it, we didn't cook it up. He laid it in our life. What he cares about now is the development of our character so we can take our gift and we can maximize it to the next level. Come on, somebody give God a hand clap if you believe he wants to do that with the gifts in your life. See, I want the gift to come to the top. See, here's what I want you to look. I want you to look down at your text, Judges chapter 16 and verse 4. We'll show you the flaws where Samson steps in the wrong direction. It says this. It says, afterward it happened that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up to her and said to her, entice him and find out where his great strength lies, and by what means we may overpower him, that we may bind him to afflict him. And every one of us will give you 1,100 pieces of silver. So Delilah said to Samson, please tell me where your great strength lies, and what that I may bound you with to afflict you. And Samson said to her, if they bind me with 7 fresh bowstrings, not yet dried, then I'll become weak and be like any other man. So the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 fresh bowstrings, not yet dried, and she bound him with them. Now men were lying in wait, staying with her in the room. And she said to him, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. But he broke the bowstrings as a strand of yarn breaks when he touches it. So the secret of his strength was not known. Then Delilah said to Samson, look, you have mocked me and told me lies. Now please tell me what you may be bound with. So he said to her, if they bind me securely with new ropes that have never been used, then I shall become weak and be like any other man. Therefore Delilah took new ropes and bound him with them and said to him, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. And men were lying in wait, staying in the room. But he broke them off his arms like a thread. Delilah said to Samson, until now you have mocked me and told me lies. Tell me what you may be bound with. And he said to her, if you weave the 7 locks of my head into the web of the womb. So she wove it tightly with the batten of the loom and said to him, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. But he awoke from his sleep, pulled out the batten and the web from the loom. Then she said to him, how can you say I love you when your heart is not with me? You have mocked me with these 3 times and have not told me where your great strength lies. And it came to pass when she pestered him daily with her words and pressed him. Have any of you ever been pestered daily by a woman so that his soul was vexed to death? Verse 17, that he told her all his heart and said to her, no razor's ever come upon my head, for I've been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I'm shaven, then my strength will leave me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. When Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up once more, for he has told me all his heart. So the lord of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in their hands. Then she lulled him to sleep on her knees and called for a man and have him shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to torment him, and his strength left him. And she said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. So he awoke from his sleep and said, I will go out at other times and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. Then the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza. They bound him with bronze fetters, and he became a grinder in the prison. However, the hair of his head began to grow again after it had been shaven. So Samson is the kind of guy that's extremely gifted, but he's also extremely flawed. And what Samson loved more than anything else, if you read the text, is Samson loved women. Now understand this. I mean, hey, what's not to love about women? Women are incredible, unbelievable. God took them, finally handcrafted them, and it's a supernatural thing. Adam looked at Eve and said, woman. It was incredible. But the key to this, and Samson never figured it out, is in life, you can't just love women. You got to learn to love woman, singular. Come on, somebody say amen to that. You find the woman and you love her. But Samson, he always had this thing, and he would always push every line. And maybe your thing isn't Samson's thing, but come on, if we get down to the bottom of it, each and every one of us, we have a thing somewhere on the inside of us. And if you act like you don't have a thing, you deceive yourself somewhere. And so Samson would go down to the other camps, and he would try to date the women that were outside of the nation of Israel. His dad didn't like it, would try to talk him out of it, but he had this wandering eye. Samson himself, if you read the text, he ended up literally in a brothel. And it's funny that Samson goes into a brothel, sleeps with a prostitute. And after this guy sleeps with a prostitute, he comes out and his enemies are around him. And the Spirit of the Lord comes upon Samson. And Samson becomes strong unlike any other man, and he operates in his gift. You know, I've discovered that our giftings, when we operate in them, it really has nothing to do with our character or our morality. It's simply a gift that's been given to us. The gift's not for us, is it? It's for the people who are here to be saved, healed, and delivered. And God's so gracious and he's so good, he wants to save, heal, and deliver. He'll do it through guys who aren't even living right at times. You ever seen a guy flow in the anointing, a guy preach and prophesy, and he's healing the sick and things are happening, and you're like, wow, that guy must have a tight relationship with God. And then the next day or the next week, you find out this guy's doing something crazy. Come on, has anybody been there before? poor? That ever scratch your head and make you wonder what's happening? See, that gift's there to minister to those people. That's not his gift. That's the body of Christ's gift. And God loves us so much, he'll flow through anybody to bless us. It's confusing, but it's there. It's like that. Samson comes out of a brothel, moves in the anointing. And then Samson, if you follow the story, the Bible says this. It says that Samson went into the night. The word night, it shows up again and again. Everybody say night. You know, bad things happen when the sun goes down. And how many of y'all, my mama used to say all the time, nothing good happens after midnight. And I believe that. I believe Kennedy, you ought to be home before midnight tonight. I'm telling you what, you ought to be there. And bad things happen when the sun goes down. And it says that Samson went out into the night. And that Samson was enticed in the night. Samson was at the brothel in the night. And then Samson finally meets his match. Her name's Delilah. And that name Delilah in the Hebrew, it's a first cousin to the word night. It's a play on words. He's enticed by the night. He's hanging out in the night. He's around the night more. And the next thing you know, he's in bed with the night. How do our flaws get the best of us? It's little by little, bit by bit, here a little, there a little. Come on, the flaw grows, doesn't it? The stuff that takes you out, it doesn't happen in a day. It happens a little here and a little there and just a little bit more all of the time. And one of the worst things that ever happened to Samson is he got away with it. I pray all the time that no matter what my children do, that they don't get away with it. You know, I was the kind of kid, I never got away with anything. If I did something, I got caught and I just ate it. I had another brother who's so sneaky, he never got caught. I'm telling you, my parents thought he was angelic. He was smarter than me. He was under the radar. And I believe whenever you get away with it, you get emboldened. Samson kept getting emboldened. He was getting away with his bend. So he goes and he lays with Delilah. And Delilah is out to get him because the devil wants your gift. He wants your head on the platter. There's nothing that the devil likes more than to have the head of a gifted man or woman of God. And he likes to have him in the trophy room. He wants everybody to see him. He wants to lift him up just like David lifted up the head of Goliath and show it off. That he took down somebody gifted. And so they made a deal with Delilah. They made a deal with the night. And they made a deal for her to find out where his weakness was. And he lays down, and at first she comes to him and she says, come on, tell me what your weakness is. And he says, if you tie me up with these certain strings, I can't get out. And she did it, and he jumps up and he breaks the strings. And it's interesting that he didn't get out of Dodge right then. You know, I think sometimes people get in far enough that on the inside somewhere they want to be caught. I think people get there enough and it's like, man, this is wrong. This is afflicting my soul. I'm looking for a way out, or they get reckless and it just gets weird. And the next time she comes back and she says, listen, here's what I want to know. I want to know how I can bind you. What goes on? And he says, well, if you tie me up with a certain kind of rope. She ties him up with a certain kind of rope and then screams, the Philistines are here. He jumps up. It's the second time he stays in bed. He keeps pushing the limits, not just once. Now he's gone on to twice. And then there's a third time. And in the third time, you see Samson gets even weaker. Because as long as you let something like that hang around, you get weaker, don't you? And the third time, he says this. He says, listen, if you tie my hair up in a loom kind of a thing, then I'll have no power. But he's getting closer to revealing where his strength comes from. He's went from tying me up with this string now to rope. Now he's up close to his head. He's getting to where it's going to cost him everything. And she gets up and she vexes him. And then afterwards he says, I'll tell you what. You want me to tell you how you can take me out? I'll tell you how. It's not my string tying me up. It's not ropes tying me up. It's not my hair tied up. I'll tell you what you can do. If you shave my head, I'm a Nazarite, and I've never had my hair cut. And Samson goes to sleep, and she shaves his head. And he wakes up, and the Philistines get a hold of him. And they take him, they beat him, they torment him, and they gouge out his eyes. What they would have done is they would have taken a hot iron. History tells me they did this to their enemies, and they burn his eyes out. And then after they burn his eyes out, they gouge out his eyes. Samson is taken down to the temple of Dagon, and he lives without vision. They use him as a trophy and as a puppet. They tie him to a grindstone. And this great man of God, this extremely gifted human, if you look at him from the outside, you say, there's a guy that wasted his gift. And he's pushing this millstone. Life's become a grind. He can no longer see. There is no vision. You know, a lot of times people make the craziest decisions on earth. And Pastor Bill taught me this years ago. Some of you probably heard him teach it. Doesn't happen in a second. It's like this. It's like a cowboy breaking a horse. Here's how the devil makes people make the wildest turns in life. You ever see people, they're doing good, they're in the church, things are going great, and the next thing you know, it's like, what in the world just happened? They made the weirdest turn, they did the strangest thing, they just made this crazy decision, and life's all messed up. Well, it didn't happen in a moment. It's like, I was raised by all cowboys, had a stockyard in my backyard, grew up team roping, my brother broke roping horses, and I used to help him. I hate horses, because horses kick, they bite, they throw you. I've never been injured on a golf course once in my life, and I like golf clubs, not horses. That's what I like. But my brother liked them, and I used to do that. And the way a cowboy will break a horse, you get a young horse, and you go and you see this young horse, and if you get in the pen with livestock, you get in the pen with livestock. Pastor Chano, will you come help me for a second? You get in the pen with livestock, and let's say this is our pen up here. Chano and I are kind of built like livestock, so this works a little bit, you know. We've had our fair share of livestock, haven't we? All right, so if I go to this side of the pen, what the livestock will do is he'll go diagonally catty corner as far away from me as I can get. And if I walk over here to this side of the pen, he's going right here. Livestock do not trust you when you first come around. Horses don't. But what a good cowboy will do is he'll just go get in the pen with the horse. And he'll stand there with it. And he'll just hang out a little bit. I don't have the patience for this. I have places to go. And he'll hang out in the pen with that horse until that horse gets used to his presence. And when the horse gets used to his presence, that guy can start getting closer to it. Maybe it gets a little nervous and it goes over here or over there. But after a while, it gets pretty comfortable with that horse. And that cowboy will come by and he'll give the horse an apple and he'll give it something it likes. And the next thing you know, that cowboy will be able to stand just next to that horse. You know what the devil does? The devil just wants to get in the pen of your life. Come on, somebody. To see if you'll let him stay in the pen with you. And then that cowboy will get closer to that horse. And the next thing you know, he's kind of petting that horse. I'm not going to pet you, Chano, because this will get weird up here. And then he'll get close enough to him and he'll take a lead rope off of a halter. And he'll just kind of put that lead rope over, stand around and put that lead rope over his neck. And he'll reach around and he'll have it around his neck. And then when the horse gets used to that, he'll do that for a while and he gets used to that little by little, bit by bit. The next thing you know, he's going to put that halter on the horse. And then he'll take a halter and he'll take that lead rope and he'll get a deep pole somewhere. And he'll tie that horse off to the deep pole. And that horse will start trying to pull off of that pole and he'll find out he cannot go anywhere. Because that pole is deeper than that horse. You know, I've watched little bitty 100-pound guys in Asia take care of elephants that they're leading with a little lead rope. And that elephant feels like it's bound, doesn't think it could get away, because that's been happening since it was a kid. How many know that 2-ton elephant can go anywhere it wants? You know, a lot of Christians are bound just like those elephants. There's something that's holding them and driving them around. It's got a grip on their life, and they don't know that Jesus broke that line 2,000 years ago, and they don't have to live bound by anything or anyone or any substance or any work of the enemy. That line has no power over your life. Somebody say amen. And so he'll take that lead line, and the next thing you know, he's got that horse, and he's breaking that horse to lead. And he'll walk by that horse. He'll be close to that horse. He'll be walking around with that horse. And then before long, he's taking the horse more and more and more, and he's out in front of the horse, and they're going everywhere they want to go. And, you know, he's in charge of the horse. And some of you are just like that, but it's not enough for the devil to be in the pen with you, and it's not enough for the devil to lead you around by the neck, and it's not enough for the devil to have a halter on you. You know what the devil wants to do next, right? Do y'all know where this is going? He's going to lead you. He's going to take you around. He's going to be with you. And the next thing he's going to do is he is going to jump up on you. Come on, somebody. And he's going to ride you. Are you all right, Chano? All right. He's going to ride you. Hey, let me down. I don't want to hurt you, man. I'll weigh 250. And he's going to ride you. And what happened to God's strongest man, Samson? Are you hurt? Oh, God help us. Somebody that's taught in the healed room, could y'all come down here and minister to Pastor Chano in a moment? Here's the deal. This thing keeps getting on Samson. The next thing you know, it's cost Samson his life. It's cost him his vision. Little by little, bit by bit, Samson gets more accustomed to the night. And these guys, they get him. They take his eyes out. They take him down to the temple of Dagon. And I'll tell you, you see a lot of great people living their life in the temple of Dagon. I know some extremely gifted people that are living their life in the temple of Dagon. And I know some sad stories. You know, I never like to see someone there, and I'm not the kind of person that revels in somebody else's fall. So I got a lot of good friends that are living in Dagon's temple now. Their eyes are out and life's a grind. That's what the devil will do to you. For a moment, you're using sin, but then after a while, sin's using you, and it's getting the best of you, and it's doing whatever it wants to with you. And Samson's there. But here's the deal, no matter where you've been or no matter what you've done, here's the beautiful thing about this text. I know this has been heavy tonight, but the beautiful thing about this story is that the story does not end here. Now, I'm going to tell you, no matter where your life is tonight, thank God our story does not have to end here. The story keeps going. And there's this word there in the scripture, and it says that, but then after he's down in that temple, but then the hair of Samson's head, it began to grow again. And that source of power and that source of anointing, it began to come back on Samson's head. And I'm telling you, what God's doing and what he's got you in this church to do is he's got you here to grow the hair on your head again. Life might have kicked you around. Something might have got on top of you. Your best days, you may think they're behind you, but what God's doing, he's growing that holy thing back in your life, that thing that's going to restore the strength of God and the gift of God and the mercy of God into your family and into your marriage and into your life and into your finances. And your hair, it can grow again. And after a while, his hair's growing out. And they bring Samson down into the center of the temple of Dagon. And they use him as some sort of clown to perform for him. And the Bible says that Samson, then he called to the young man who was there with him, and he said, "Young man, I want you to come here and take me and put me on the poles in the center of the temple of Dagon." And Samson went to the center of the temple of Dagon. He got his hands on both of the pillars there in the temple, and he prayed to the Lord. He said, "God, I pray just one more time that you would send your strength upon me." And the strength of God, it descended on Samson in that temple, and Samson began to push those poles, and all of a sudden the temple of Dagon, it fell on top of thousands of people. The Bible says this, the Bible says that Samson in his death killed more people in one action. His gift did more in the end of his life than it did in the beginning of his life and his entire story. And the restoration of God came in a way that day to Samson. Man, I'm so glad that we serve a God and that the Bible says his mercies are new every morning. They are new every day. That he's the God of all grace. And even if we've missed it, even if we went down to Delilah's house, even if we've sold out our gift and we'd have our eyes put out of our head, that God is the God of all grace. He's not just the God of some grace. He's not just the God of a little grace. He is the God of all grace. And he will restore you. He'll put you back together. He'll bless you and he'll lift you higher in life. And I'm telling you, the end of your life can be greater than the beginning of your life. And restoration can come to you. And you can be reconciled in life and you can have a brand new way and something brand new happening in the midst of your soul. What I want you to do tonight is I want you to stand up on your feet and I want to get the opportunity to pray for you. I'm praying that God would maximize the gift that he's placed on the inside of us. Come on, somebody. I want my gift maximized. I want my strength or whatever it is that I do. I want it stronger than anything else has ever been in my life. And, you know, I found out what my gift was, and I found out how to operate in it in the house of God. Right here is where you learn to flow in your gift no matter what it is, isn't it? It's the house of God. Learn to see it. As a young man, I came into the church, and I would watch guys do what I'm supposed to do. And I'd see them doing it, and on the inside of me, something would begin to jump. Now learn to watch how they do it and watch how they operate. You get just a little bit better all the time in life. Same's true. Some of you business guys, you came into the house. You saw somebody doing that and financing the gospel. Some on the inside of you began to jump up and down. Some of you missions guys, it's the same thing. Some great mothers, they saw some other moms who were raising kids in the nurture, the admonition of the Lord. And on the inside, when they saw those ladies operate, they said on the inside, "Man, I want to do what she's doing." That's God exposing your gift, showing you how to maximize it supernaturally. It's powerful. And also in the house of God, we learn to identify our flaws. So we got people around us right here that love us. And they love us so much, they'll call us out on our flaws. You know, not in a weird way or a humiliating way, just in a loving way. the way a coach talks to you or a dad talks to you. You know what real dads and real men do? They love, they help, they lead. They correct when they need to. Come on, somebody. We got a generation that needs to be corrected more than they've ever needed it before in their lives. Nobody likes it anymore, because in America, we don't want to be corrected, do we? We don't like that. It feels awkward. It's cross-cultural. It's cross-current. It's weird. And the image of a strong man or a father, it's hated in America right now. That's the thing that keeps your flaws from blowing up. And the reason it's hated, the reason the world and whoever it is, the media, like, you can't be a guy anymore and it'd be all right. You can't be masculine anymore and it'd be all right. The reason it's like that, it's not that they just hate man. It's because man is created in the image of God. And it's that antichrist spirit that hates the image of God. And nothing looks more like the image of God than a strong, loving father who also takes charge of his house when he needs to. Come on, how many of y'all believe that God is a strong, loving father? And he'll take authority in his house when he needs to. That's what we need to set everything right. And that keeps our flaws from taking us. You know, the Bible talks about our flaws. And it calls it iniquity. If you think about it, iniquity, what it means like this, there's a word picture, and it's like a palm tree that the wind's blown over for years. And what happens with the palm tree, the wind hits it from a certain direction, it starts to bend with the wind, and it's bent in a certain direction. Iniquity means this, it is our bend towards sin. And everybody's got it. I've got mine, you've got yours. Some people say I was born this way, or I was taught this, or I fell into this. It doesn't matter. It's iniquity either way you look at it. And that iniquity, if you let it have its way in your life, it's end game. Your bend towards something that's wrong is destruction. Had a bend towards addiction. Don't know whether I got it in my DNA or I learned it, but it was there. And here's the great thing. You know, that's a flaw. But what Jesus did in Isaiah 53 is the Bible says he was wounded for my transgressions. Second thing he was is he was bruised. Come on, somebody. For my iniquities. That's my flaw. That's my weakness. Whether it's Samson's or whether it's whatever it is, he was bruised for that iniquity. Christ was bruised to break our flaws out of our life. You know, the New Testament, it says this, for this reason, the Son of God was made manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. For this reason, the Son of God was made manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Iniquity, flaws, my shortcoming, my decision making that's taken me down the wrong road. For this reason, the Son of God was made manifest, that he might destroy the works. I'm going to tell you, the works of the devil can be destroyed out of your life. You don't have to die because of your flaw. You don't have to go the path of Samson. If you have, your hair is going to grow back, but you don't have to go down that path. That's what I love about kids brought up in the house of God. They don't have to come down through all of that and get delivered and get back on the right path. We can start them on the right path and keep them on the right path, and they can live the blessed life. I believe that. Here's what I want to do is I want to pray for you. I want to pray that your gift's going to be maximized, and I want to pray that your flaws will be minimized. If you're comfortable with it, I want you to lift a hand to heaven tonight. Father, I pray now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I thank you for these gifted people. I thank you for their lives. I thank you for their gifts. I thank you for what you put in them and you put on them and what's flowing through them. I thank you for the gifts of organization and the gifts of governance and the gift to apostle and the gift to lead and the gift to father and the gift to generosity, gift to prophecy. Lord, I thank you for the gift of faith. I declare the gift of faith is active in this room. I declare you believe when everybody else doubts, that it becomes impossible for you to doubt at times. Not because you're a super Christian, but because it's a gift of the Holy Spirit. I thank you for the gift of knowledge and discerning of spirits. I thank you that those gifts flow in your life and come to the top. Now I thank you that those gifts don't elevate us, Lord. I pray that those gifts elevate you in our midst, and that those gifts elevate your house and your church. You know, those gifts elevate what you're doing in our sons and our daughters. Lord, let the gifts be maximized in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And now we come against every flaw that binds us. We come against every iniquity in the name of Jesus. And I declare right now, for this reason, the Son of God was made manifest, that you might destroy the works of the devil. I say the works of the devil are bound out of your life. They're removed and they're gone. God's identifying and showing you where it is, where your cracks are. I pray all the time, God, show me where the weakness is in my life. Show me where it is. I don't want to go the wrong way. I don't want to go down that path. Show me. Wake me up. Send somebody to talk to me. Help me in this area, I pray. Father, I pray you would do that in God's church. You would do it in our life. You would do it in my life so that our flaws might be minimized in the name of Jesus. And now I pray for every person that feels like they failed. I declare the hair of your head, it's coming back. The hair of your head, say it's growing back. It's rising up. My strength is returning to me because my God is with me. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, if you're out there right now and you say, Pastor, I'm not right with Jesus. I don't know Christ. If I were to die, I don't know if I would go to heaven or I'd go to hell. I don't know where I'm at with him. But I'm going to tell you, Pastor, I want to get that right. I want that bridge. I want it made between me and God. My sin, I don't think I'm forgiven. Listen, if that's you and you don't know if you walked out of here and you didn't make it home, you don't know if you go to heaven or not, this moment's for you. Christ loves you. He died on the cross for you. Your sins are paid for. You can be forgiven. I'm telling you, God's the God of all grace. He's not pointing his finger at you in judgment. He's doing his finger like this. He's saying, come unto me, all you that are weary, all you that are hurting, all you that have pain. I'm going to forgive you. I'm going to wash you. I'm going to cleanse you. If you're out there and you see, I say, I need restoration. I need forgiveness. I need to be made right with God. Or maybe you were right with him years ago, but you've been living your own way and you need to rededicate your life. If that's you out there and you need to do that tonight, with every head bowed, every eye closed, if that's you, you want to do that tonight, when I count to three, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to make you walk up here. I'm just going to pray with you. I want you to lift your hand up when I count to three. God's going to forgive you. Grace is going to crash into your life. It's going to be beautiful. One, don't put it off. Two, this is your moment. Come on, three, just lift up your hand. Let me see you. Wave at me for 1 second. I see that hand. 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 Come on, put it up where I can see. I see you right there. God bless you. I see you right there. God bless you. Man, God's going to do something supernatural in your life and in your heart tonight. It's going to be amazing. He's beginning something in your life. He's going to finish what he starts. Come on, church, let's pray with him. I'm going to give you some words to pray. You're going to pray it out loud. We're going to connect with God. I want you to pray this loud enough you can hear yourself pray. God's about to come and do amazing things in your midst. Your sins are going to be forgiven. Just say this to the Father loud enough you can hear yourself. Say, Father, I'm a sinner. I've lived for myself. I've done my own thing. But tonight I repent of my sin. I turn from my sin to Jesus. I believe on his death, on his burial, and on his resurrection. Come into my life. Save me. Forgive me. Fill me with your spirit. I boldly declare that Jesus is the Son of God. Thank you, Father, for forgiving me. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen, amen. Hey, it was an honor to be with you tonight. What an honor. We love you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.